Dr. Tania Whitfield and her team at the University of Sheffield are using a rather different model, stripy little zebrafish, to study ear development. The first thing I had to ask was, what on earth a zebrafish's ear looks like?
They don't have an outer ear, a pinna, like we do, and they don't have a middle ear system, but they do have the equivalent of our inner ear, and they do use their ears for both hearing, so they're sensitive to sound, although they're not sensitive to quite the same range of frequencies that people are. And they also use them for as a balance organ, which is exactly what our own inner ears are used for too. So we remain upright partly because we're constantly sensing whether we're the right way up using our inner ears.
And tell me about some of the work you're doing with zebrafish. How are you using zebrafish to try and find how the ears work?
The subject I was talking about today was our work looking for small molecules that can actually affect the way the ear develops and functions in the embryo. The fish is particularly good for that because the embryos are small, which means we can treat them with different compounds, different small molecules, and see whether those have any effect on the developing ear. And specifically, we've been using a gene expression marker, which is abnormally expressed in one of our zebrafish strains, to see whether we can restore the normal expression of that gene after we've treated with chemical compounds.
So when these fish don't have their ears developing properly, they make this marker that you can see, and then you're looking for things that will turn it back to normal.
Exactly, yes. And we can do this in not a high throughput, but a sort of medium throughput format. So we can screen plates of about 80 chemicals at any one time. And so we've completed a screen of over 2,000 chemicals, and of those we've found 40 different compounds that give the effect that we want.
So what are some of the similar problems in human hearing that mimic what you see in your fish? And do you think any of the things that you've discovered could be useful for human hearing or balance disorders?
We're at the very basic end of research, so it's very early days to say that yet. But the fish with the abnormal gene expression I was talking about actually also has swollen ears as a developmental defect. And in fact, too much fluid inside the ear is a problem in some clinical conditions, for example, something called Meniere's disease, which is actually quite a common disorder and for which the causes are largely unknown, and some syndromes such as Pendred's syndrome, which is an iron imbalance syndrome which causes problems in the ear and in the thyroid gland. But the idea is, the long-term goal is, yes, to identify new lead compounds that might be used in a drug development process.
That was Dr. Tania Whitfield from the University of Sheffield. Now it's time to look at your burning genetics questions with the help of Marianne Baker from the Barts Cancer Institute in London.